It made me, the Lord wanted to stop and give me more time right there where it stopped. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. I want to make a statement as we begin this particular study on winning the race and receiving the crown. Say that with me if you would today. Winning the race, receiving the crown. Don't know if you know it or not, but you're in a race. I don't know if you're a tortoise or a hare or somewhere in between. But you're in the race. If you're a Christian, if you've come to know Christ as your Savior, you're in a race. According to the Word of God, you're in a race. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. On winning the race, receiving the crown. I don't know what your goals are as a Christian, but I want to finish my course like Paul. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith down at the end of the race that was set before him. And the idea is not beating somebody else. The idea is finishing the course. Finishing the course. I saw a lady at the Boston Marathon that she couldn't finish it on her feet. So she actually crawled the rest of the way in order to finish the race. I saw in one of the marathons a young man who had sprained his ankle and his dad. Now, you can't beat people this way, but you can finish the race this way. His dad came out and got him underneath and held him up. And with his dad's help, he limped across the finish line. So the race that we're talking about is not getting in front of other people. It's not beating anybody to anywhere. It's simply finishing the race that has been set before. If you're a Christian, you're in it, and you should be in it to win it. Can you say amen? And there's too many Christians that don't have that as a goal, finishing their course. They don't see their life as something that God has preordained. Amen. And they don't have that initiative that the athletes in the world have. Every Christian should be a Holy Ghost athlete. You didn't hear me today. I know that if we had to run around the building, some of us couldn't make it. But amen. Especially twice. If we had to march around Jericho seven times with Arthur, and I'm not talking about the Arthur we prayed for. You know, them Riders boys are all bad, but Arthur's the worst one of the bunch. Can you say amen? There's all kinds of things to hinder us physically, but spiritually, on the inside. Every person in here, you're either making progress or you're regressing. We are upstream Christians in a downstream world. And I'm not just going to talk to you about spiritual discipline. I'm going to talk to you about devotion. Because devotion always brings discipline. People that are devoted to anything are disciplined people. You can't have devotion and not have discipline. If you get devoted to the Lord, you're going to make time to talk with Him in prayer. Not just go to Him when the trouble comes, but just talk with Him. Amen. Devotion brings discipline. Show me a boxer. They're getting ready to have a boxing match that the loser is going to get $800,000. I'd let Floyd knock me out for $18,000. Wake up in the hospital a rich man. I don't know if I want... Well, you know, a big fight's getting ready to take place. Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Money Mayweather, going to get it on in May. And it's going to be one of the richest financial fights in the history of the fight game. Because these two people both have a reputation. There's an undefeated world champion, and there's a contender that has a great boxing background. And it's not going to be a one-sided. I think it's going to be a real interesting fight. I'm going to tell you what's happening right now. Floyd Mayweather is training. He's not eating pork chops and biscuits and gravy for a little while. No, he's not. You can't do that and be to that level and get ready for a fight. He's devoted to winning that fight, to going out when he retires undefeated. It's not just about, well, it is about the money too, but there's a personal thing here about being undefeated. So he knows, that other guy's coming in to take the crown from me. And I'm going to have to fight like I've never fought to keep him from doing it. And guess what Manny Pacquiao's doing this morning? He's in training. He's in training. He's in training. And he's training hard. And his trainer, anybody, I can't remember his name, but he's trained many champions. And everybody in this room, whether you know it or not, you're in a race. You're in a race. You're going to finish it, or you're going to be sidelined. You're going to run it, or you're just going to find yourself drifting away from God. I know people that used to run with patience the race, with perseverance, that are not running any longer. And because they are not running, they're not admitting that they are backslid, but they are backsliding. Because the moment you quit pushing forward, Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching for the things that are before, I press. Everybody say press. That means to strain forward. To strain forward. Everyone in here is running against the wind of the culture, the wind of your own weak flesh, the wind of Satan's temptations and his lies and his deceptions. Everybody's running against the wind. You live for Christ today, you're counterculture. You can't just go along with everything that the world says is okay. And even many parts of the church, you have to make up your mind to follow Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the moment you do, you set yourself to run with patience the race that is set before you. I've got a course to finish. 3 years ago, was it 3 years, 2 years? How long did I had a major stroke and I thought maybe I was finished my course. The Lord had other ideas. And he raised me up without any symptoms. And it amazed the doctors and it amazed the nurse that went down in the elevator with me and looked at me in the eye and said, "Sir, do you realize that you are a miracle?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I do, because God answers prayer. Not because I'm super special, but because God is a faithful God." And people interceded for me and they called upon his name and God was faithful and God in his mercy, his grace and his love healed me in 3 days. And I walked out of the hospital, hallelujah, without any impairment whatsoever. Praise God, with no residue of the stroke. My son had a light stroke and he still can't mow his own yard because his arm on that side. He had a light stroke, a mini stroke. And he said, "Dad, I look out the window and I see you mowing your own yard in the heat of the summer. And I say, this isn't right. My daddy's had a major stroke. He's mowing his yard. I had a mini stroke and I can't mow my yard." I said, "Well, the difference is your daddy's in the Word of God. And your daddy's building up his faith to trust God when the trouble comes. And other people are being built up in faith when they pray." I know people look at me as if God did something for you, it's because you're special. No, no, I'm not special. But I am his child. And he is my heavenly Father. And Jesus is my Savior. Can you say amen? And it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you with arms wide open. He'll pardon you, help you, heal you. It is no secret what God can do. But it seems to be a secret to many what he will do. So they that come to him must believe not only that he is, but that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him out. Hallelujah. All right, listen to me carefully. In Africa last night, a lion and a gazelle went to sleep. At sunrise, the gazelle must awake, ready to run full out. Soon as he wakes up, he's got to be ready to run. If he doesn't, he will be a meal for the lion. The lion must awake, ready to run full out, or else he will starve to death. So when the sun rises and arose in Africa this morning, whether you are a lion or whether you are a gazelle, you need to wake up ready to run. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Somebody, some Christian is going to get your run back. And I don't mean just around the building. The Holy Ghost used to hit me, and I'd take off around the building in the Holy Church of God. And it was a pretty big building. And people thought for sure that I was going to trip, fall, have a colossal wreck, amen, because I was running full blast, and they told me my eyes were closed. You do not run full blast around a building full of people in church pews with your eyes closed. Can you say amen? Unless the Lord is in it. If you try that in your flesh, and if it's emotion, just mere emotion. I remember running and stopping. It's almost like I had power brakes along with power steering. Praise God. Amen. I stopped, and I had run full out and stopped right with my nose against the wall. Holy Ghost just stopped me before I splattered. You saw me do that a lot. Amen. I'm not talking about that kind of Holy Ghost inspired run in the sense of just the power of God. I'm talking about being consistent in following Jesus Christ no matter what comes or no matter what goes. You just keep on going for God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You don't let the world push you into its mold. You don't let the devil pull you back. You don't let your flesh defeat you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So let's read this. In 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race, didn't I tell you? Run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we for an incorruptible. Something's always intrigued me here as they do it. They can do it. They discipline their lives to accomplish their goals. And what they receive as a result of that discipline and devotion is temporal. It will pass away just like they're going to pass away. They do it for a corruptible crown. In the Grecian games of Paul's day, when the first one got over the line, he was given a wreath, the victor's wreath. It was made out of plants and woven together. They placed it on his head, and it was just the glory of walking out of that arena wearing that wreath, that he ran for that glory. It usually meant that he had for a day the equivalent of the key to the city, because the guy that wore that wreath, you know, he could walk into places and they would just give him things because he was the champion. He was the champion. He was the champion. So he had that momentary moment of glory and that day of glory, but ultimately it passed away. They do it for a corruptible crown, but we do it for an incorruptible. We're going to talk about some of those crowns that are eternal, that will affect you throughout all eternity, so that we can run with perseverance today. I'm not talking about weight here today, so don't take this wrong, but there's just too many spiritually flabby Christians. Can you say amen? They couldn't do a pull-up, couldn't do a push-up. Amen. Just out of shape spiritually. And yet we're in a race for something far more than the world devotes to and disciplines itself for. The first young black man to beat the, was it the run the mile? He broke the record the first time that the record had been broken in years. A young black man from Nigeria or Africa somewhere. He won that thing. And he got up every morning at daylight. And near where he was, there was a steep hill. It was similar to a mountain. This huge, steep hill. Every morning he got up. You know what he did? He ran up the hill every morning, and then he came back down every morning. Listen, man, when I get up in the morning, I don't feel like running up no hill. But then I'm not going to the Olympics. Physically, I'm not training to beat out everybody from every nation in the world, but he was, and he had a goal. I'm going to tell you something. We need to have some goal in our life other than meet, eat, and retreat. Can you say amen? Amen. There ought to be something else motivating us. Can you say amen? and thank God for men's breakfast. I'm not talking about that. You know what I'm talking about. Can you say, man, most people right now at 25 to 12, they're looking at their watch thinking about their belly. I'm talking about church folk. Amen. And you know what's going to upset them? 10 minutes after 12 and that preacher ain't done. Let me tell you right now, we have double dismissals. You do not have to stay past anything that, because some people have schedules, but people are going to come for prayer, and we're going to pray for them. And we don't care what the clock says. We don't care about anything. If you listen, that's when the greatest miracles that I have ever seen in my ministry have occurred. It's when 90% of the people are gone, but the 10% are left are in one mind and with one accord and said, we got all day to see God move. Hallelujah. And guess what happens? God moves. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God moves. They do it for a corruptible crown. We do it for an incorruptible. Hallelujah. He said, I therefore so run in verse 26, not as uncertainly so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Everybody say shadow boxing. He said, I'm not shadow boxing. I know exactly who my real opponent is. And before you think of the devil, we need to read the rest of this. Remember Flip Wilson? Anybody old enough remember Flip Wilson? You got it. Amen. You're not that old, but you can remember Flip Wilson. What was his famous saying about everything? Who did he play? Yeah, the devil made me do it. So I'm off the hook. I have no responsibility. Who did he play? Geraldine? One time she had bought a $1,000 dress at a fashion show. She or he or whoever. Geraldine, the character, came home and was going to have to fess up that money had been spent on that dress. And when confronted about that money spent on that dress, here's what Geraldine had to say. Flip did her very well, by the way. And she said, I wasn't going to buy that dress. But the devil made me do it. I resisted him. But then he pulled a gun. Amen. You know, as crazy as that is, as funny as that is, there's a lot of Christians who are blaming the devil for every defeat in their life. We're blaming the devil in the light of God's word that declares from the lips of Jesus, behold, I give you power over all, not some, not most, not 99%. I give you power over all. I love the way he delegates power. Jesus said, all power is mine in heaven and earth. All of it. I am Lord of all, not Lord of most or many. All power has been given me in heaven and earth. And behold, he that's got it said, I can delegate it to you as a believer. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Listen to this, of things in heaven and things in earth. And things beneath the earth. Believe me, the devil doesn't have a doubt. There's not a doubting devil in hell. Every devil is a believer. They know who Jesus is. They know he has the authority. They know he has the power. One man, the demoniac of the Gadarenes, saw Jesus coming and said, we know who you are. We know you've got the authority over us. Why comest thou to persecute us before our time? We know the day is coming when every knee is going to bow. We know the day is coming when every tongue is going to confess. But we didn't think you'd show up yet. Hallelujah. Jesus said, shut up and come out. Can you say amen? Oh, did they rise up and put up a fight? No, they said, we know we got to go, but please suffer us to go into those swine. Don't let us go back out into outer darkness. Let us go into some host, even an animal. Let us go into those swine. And you know, Jesus said, that's appropriate. Now you can go ahead with my permission into those swine. The minute, amen, that these evil spirits entered the swine, they ran into the sea and drowned themselves. But one thing is for sure, when there's a contest between the resurrected Christ and the Jesus that God sent and the devil, there is no contest as far as God is concerned. All power, he said, is given me in heaven and earth. And behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil. What occurs? It's not just about having power over the devil. It's about being devoted to Jesus Christ first. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. And then resist the devil. You got the power. You have the authority. Can you say amen? But you know what's missing in many circles? The submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Some of you are going to take heed to the Word of God today. I pastored for 41 years now, working on my 41st year of pastoring. I've pastored long enough to know some of you are not. And I'm not going to try to force you. But I want to let you know there's a better life. There's a victory for every... If you're a true Christian, amen, victory ought to be your business. You should be able to say, victory is my business. Amen. Victory is my business. And I hope at before you leave this building, you will be able to say and know it's true in your heart. Victory is my business and business is good. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 It's not you. It's not me. It's something God has delegated and Christ has granted. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and 58. It says, thanks be unto God which gives us the victory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is never in vain in the Lord. What you do for God, God's going to honor. What you do for God, God's going to bless. Nothing is in vain when it's done in His name to spread His fame. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 You say, Brother Venable, I witnessed, they didn't listen to me. Well, it wasn't in vain. Amen. It was for a witness. They can never say, God didn't love me. God didn't tell me. God didn't send anybody to me. My job today is not to see how many people come to Christ, but to invite everybody to Christ. Having done that, my conscience is clear. My job is done. Can you say amen? I want to encourage you to follow it. One plants, another waters. You may be the planter for somebody else to water. They may see that soul come to Christ. Maybe a chaplain in a hospital that prays the sinner's prayer with someone. But they met a Christian somewhere that sowed the seed. Hallelujah. And we're workers together with God for His supreme purpose. Run, run, run with patience the race that is set before you. Listen to this. Paul's using the analogy of athletes and Christians. Too many lackadaisical, lackadocious, sideline Christians. We think, you know what we've done? We got signs all over the place that say worship. Sunday morning worship. Biblically, it is not sitting watching the choir sing. Worship isn't sitting watching a choir sing. That's not a worship service in itself. Until you participate. Until you praise Him. I used to love to watch that choir, that Nancy Harmon's choir. They went on the road together. They come to church. Everybody comes as usual, ready to watch them sing. Because that's what you do. We're in the television syndrome. Armchair quarterbacks. Oh, you can hear them. They couldn't, if there wasn't nobody to block them. they couldn't run the field. Come on, that guy up in that stand, guzzling beer and eating hot dogs. There's nothing wrong with hot dogs, but you know what I'm saying. He couldn't run down the field if nobody blocked him. He would give out before he got to the 100 yards. But he sure has a word for the rest of the people on the field. Armchair athletes. Well, man, when you get to church, you can't be an armchair athlete. You can't be a spectator. Worship service means that everybody worships God. Not just watching the choir sing. Say, boy, I really enjoy that music. You're a spectator still until you worship God. And what I loved about the singers with Nancy Harmon, she was spirit-filled, and you don't have to be spirit-filled. You just need to have a heart to worship God. Helps if you're spirit-filled, but anybody can worship God if you choose to worship God. We've sat in church, we've listened to the preacher give his sermonettes for Christianettes that live in spiritual bassinets. Can you say amen? We're not challenged to grow. We're not straining forward. So by virtue of not putting forth a real devoted, disciplined effort, we're being pulled back into the world. And most people that are drifting won't admit they're backslid. And until they admit they're backsliding, they can't front slide. I remember going downstairs. We had a big dinner after a service, and we had the basement at the older Holy Church of God. I remember going down into that basement. It had been a busy morning, ladies bringing stuff in. Boy, God got a hold of that service. We were supposed to be down there eating at 12:30. It was 1:30, and people still around the altar praying over people. We got down there late. Amen. And there was a man, I forget who he was, somebody's husband that came for the food anyway. Amen. And he was enjoying the food. We came down the steps, and he looked up and he said, if you stay in Brother Venable's church very long, says you don't have to worry about backsliding, you're going to front slide. And I thought, if you come here and get challenged and let God make changes inside of you and you get a fire, the Bible said, stir up, stir up, stir up, stir up. You don't need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost if you've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. You need to have that gift stirred up on the inside of you. Can you say amen? It means to, when Paul said to stir up, in the Greek it means to fan into flame. I'm from Kentucky. We didn't have central heat initially. In my grandma's house, they had a coal stove, a wood stove. And at night, you bank it up. You push it all up into a pile so that there's still enough embers glowing all night long. That when you get up in the morning, you spread it out and you fan the flame. And when you fan it and stoke it and fan it, a flame appears. Soon as that flame appears, you throw some wood on it, put another bucket of coal in it, and that thing gets hot, red hot again. And then you're ready to come out into a warm room for them gravy and biscuits and egg butter, country ham. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't just baptize with the Holy Ghost. He doesn't just come to baptize with the Holy Ghost. There's fire involved. There's fire involved. There's fire involved. When Christ came on the scene, John had testified and prophesied of him, and he said, there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch. And when he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Because you can't have the Holy Ghost divorced from the fire. You can't. The fire is there. It has to be there. Because the fire that we're talking about is the glory that attends the earthly presence of God, the heavenly presence, the earthly presence. That's why when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, what happened? Something was seen on their heads. There wasn't just other tongues with their tongue. There were tongues of fire on their head. And the artist's perception of this, it looks like someone got behind them and flicked a Bic. You know what a Bic is? It's one of those little butane lighters, the early ones. A little bitty candle flame on top. It's not what it was. Cloven tongues. It's like a... This thing right here, I hope it's not on. It isn't. But it's got a light in it. It's got something that rolls so that the appearance of flames are coming up. On top of everyone, not some, but everybody, appeared cloven tongues of fire. Amen? That Shekinah, it's called in the Old Testament descriptively. When Isaiah went into the temple, he said the Lord's presence was in there. He used the term, I saw the Lord and His train fill the temple. When the temple was dedicated to God, the priests and the ministers could not minister by reason of the glory that had entered. The glory of God that attends His presence, because His presence could now be manifest in His followers, was seen upon them. Can you say amen? So you can't have the Holy Ghost without the fire. But you can have the Holy Ghost and let the fire die out. So Paul, oh yes, you can talk in tongues without the real, authentic, powerful presence of God realized and reflected through your heart and your life. And we claim our spirituality because we can still say, come tie my bow tie. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. But you know what happens without it being fueled by the presence of God? It becomes sounding brass. It becomes tinkling cymbal. Noise without substance, without reason, without rhyme. It distracts. It doesn't destroy, amen, the strongholds of the enemy. It just distracts in the church service. I know tongue-talking people today that are backsliding, going back to their old lifestyles, their old value system, but they can still talk in tongues on Sunday morning. We better get more than tongues. We need the fire of God back because it sanctifies. It burns out the dross. Can you say amen? Sean, there are people that come here that will never come back. I hope you're tough. I mean, you look tough. I hope you're tough enough to come back. But there's people that will not come back because they don't want to be convicted. They don't want to be challenged. They want to stay soft and flabby. But if you know that you're getting ready for a fight, and if you got any fight left in you, I would strongly suggest that you get a good trainer. Freddie Roach. He is looking at Pacquiao's fight sequences. And he is telling Pacquiao, you got to get in this gym in the morning. And he is getting sparring partners that fight the same style as the man that he's going to face. Canelo Alvarez didn't change nothing. He went to school. He didn't win one round. He's a knockout guy. He's, what, 22 years old? He's a young man. But he didn't train for that fight. And you know what? The lack of training showed up because he didn't win one round. Not one. You know who's going to win that thing? Paul said the guy that trains for it. Amen. Church ought to be a place where you are challenged every single Sunday, where you are well trained in spiritual warfare, where you are not ignorant of the devil's devices. Can you say amen? Where you are committed to victory in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Until your life begins and my life begins. Listen, I didn't come here to debate the gospel. I came to declare it today. There's some people who'd rather debate it than declare it. I'm going to declare it. There are plenty of churches to accommodate people that don't want to run the race, that don't want to truly follow Jesus, that want to blame the devil for every defeat. I'm going to tell you something. If I'm defeated, it's not the devil's fault. It's my fault, because I have power over all the power of the enemy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you see me defeated, was the devil involved? Yes, he was. But who gave in? My Bible said that God cannot, in the book of James, he cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. That means tempt you to do wrong. But every man, without exception, there is a tempter. Every man is tempted when he's led away of his own lust and enticed. And lust, when it's conceived, when you don't nip it at the bud, brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, always brings the same result. It brought death in the garden. It brings death today. Spiritual death begins to occur. And revival is so needed, because there's so much spiritual death in the church of Jesus Christ. Timothy got discouraged. He got distracted first, then he got discouraged. His distraction was he preached the truth and everybody ran down the road to hear what they wanted to hear. I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, that's very distracting. It's heartrending and heartbreaking, because it's still occurring today. But I'm called to preach, and I'm going to preach as long as someone will come to listen. And if nobody comes here, I'm going to keep preaching on the radio and keep preaching on the web. I'm going to keep preaching as long as I got breath in my body, because I'm called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. But many times I've had to stir up the gift, because I have been discouraged and I have been distracted. And that's what happened to Timothy. And when Paul wrote him, he said, I know you got faith. It don't look like it. You don't feel like it. But I know it exists in you. I know the gifts of the Spirit are in you, because hands have been laid on you when you went into ministry. And ministry gifts are imparted through the laying on. I know they're in you because we've laid hands on you. Glory to God. And the Spirit of God has imparted something to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How do you know he's got faith? Can you look in his heart? He said he can't help but have faith. Your grandmother, Lois and Eunice, and your mother, they were women of faith, and they raised you. He heard the word of God from a baby up. Hallelujah. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Timothy, you got faith. And the gifts for ministry have been imparted to you through the laying on of hands. You're a powerful man of God. You're a threat to the devil. Hallelujah. When you get up in the morning, demons should say, oh no, he's up. What's he going to pray? What's he going to believe God for? Who's he going to intercede for? Who's he going to share a testimony with? Brother, we're going to, you're arrogant. No, I'm not. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And I know who I am in him and who he is in me. Can you say amen? There's something, I didn't get a good look at it. There's something laying out in the road in front of my house. It's either a garbage bag that looks like a cat, or it's a cat. If it's a cat, it's going to get run over. It's going to blow up. Putrefy. Somebody's going to pop it when they run over it. And when the wind blows just right. So I'm going to give that cat a good funeral. If it is a cat, I'm going to bury him. Amen. I'm not going to say words over him. Like the. Happened to be a Baptist preacher. Could have been a Pentecostal. Lady came and said, would you come and have a funeral for my dog? It's supposed to be a true story. He said, no, ma'am. I don't do funerals for pets. She said, well, I've been to the Presbyterian church. They wouldn't either. But there's a Methodist church about a mile and a half. I'm going to go ask them. She said, I don't know why anybody would say no. I told them I'd make a $5,000 donation to the church if they'd do it. He said, why didn't you tell me it was a Baptist dog? Sometimes people change their mind about things like that. But I stay away from dead things. I don't want to be around dead things. Easter's coming. Resurrection Sunday, resurrection morning. Easter is coming. They come out, amen, to get them to move that stone so they could anoint the corpse. Can you say amen? But they came out and saw the stone was rolled away and there was no corpse in the tomb. But there was an angel sitting upon that big rock that they wondered how they were going to move. And the first thing out of his mouth was, why seek you the living among the dead? I don't know about your Jesus, but my Jesus is alive and well. Can you say amen? So if you want to sit in a dead church, that's your prerogative, that's your privilege. But we're in a church where our Jesus is alive and well, thank you. Hallelujah. Some of you have gifts laying dormant on the inside of you because you've become distracted and discouraged. And so that's why Paul wrote Timothy. An amazing thing. He didn't tell him to build his faith. He told him he had faith that he wasn't using. He didn't tell him he needed more faith. He told him, you need to use the faith that you got. You need to stir up the gift. And you stir it by using your faith. And you've got the faith to stir it with. Before I came to Christ, I would get a swizzle stick to stir my mixed drink. Stir it up. Stir it. Stir it. Oh, how we need a stirring. We used to play that song here as I get ready to close. I feel a stirring in the atmosphere. Can you say amen? I feel a stirring in my heart. Not everybody wants to be stirred. Not everybody wants to be woke up. Not everybody sees the emergency that we're in spiritually as Christians living in the last of the last days. I worked for Tampa Electric and for several years on a line crew. One man told the story that they were going down the road to a job and he saw flames coming from the roof of a house. They stopped the truck. He ran over to that house, had a screen door with one of those springs on it. He said, I opened the screen door, looked inside. I didn't see anybody, but the house was being engulfed in flames. Said there was a man laying in the bed. The house is on fire. Said there were several beer bottles by the bed. He had evidently, cigarette had dropped and started the fire. Now it was spreading through the house. The bed was catching on fire. And he shook him to wake him up. He shook him to wake him up. If the preacher isn't shaking the church that is asleep, she will never wake up. He don't want to rock the boat. He needs his job scared. He's got a budget to meet. He don't want to bother you on Sunday morning. Honey, if there's a house on fire and I'm inebriated and it's going to consume me, forget about all of that junk and wake me up. Amen. So he grabbed him by the collar and he yanked him up. And the guy cursed him for bothering him. Of course, this old boy that I worked with, he's a big boy. He could have knocked him lights out. But he's trying to save him, not hurt him. You've got to understand, when God shakes you and God visits you, he's not trying to harm you. He's trying to help you. Can you say amen? He grabbed him. He drug him out of that house. Threw him on the ground outside. The guy's still cursing. But 3 days later, when he sobered up, woke up and sobered up, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is increase, but be ye filled with the Spirit." We need to sober up and we need to wake up. Can you say amen? Be sober and vigilant. The devil ain't playing, so you need to be in training. Praise God to win this thing. I got a 51-year marriage. Prince Charming met Sleeping Beauty. We rode off on my white steed. She called me a steed. Can you say amen? And we lived in the castle happily ever after. No, we fought the devil from the first day to this day. And we'll fight him until Jesus comes or we go home. But we're winning. We're winning because Jesus is on our side. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 The pulpit's as affected as the pew is. Infected as the pew is. There's as many Christian preacher, pastor marriages failing as there is anybody else's. Being a Christian doesn't make you safe because you go to church. You've got to fight the enemy. And you've got to win the battle. 1,700 pastors will leave the ministry every 30 days in America. Discouraged, just like Timothy. Brother, remember, some of them wasn't called. I realize that, but some of them were. Timothy was, but he was in danger. And Paul said, stir up, stir up. Stir up is the English translation of one Greek word. And the Greek word meant to fan into flame, a fire that threatens to go out because of neglect. Because of neglect. Go ahead and neglect prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. You will become faint-hearted. It doesn't matter how many tapes you have. No matter how many Christian songs you have on the radio. Just don't talk to God. Quit praying. Quit praying. Just quit praying. That's your lifeline. Can you say amen? Neglect prayer and watch the fire begin to go out. Put that Bible over in the corner and let it get dusty. Don't be like the true story of the pastor that went to a home. They had taken the Bible out from under the magazines. That big family Bible, you know, the pretty one that we don't use. It's just for looking at. And they put it right in the center of the coffee table. So that when the pastor came, he saw that the Bible was in a prominent place. But they messed up. Because they told little Jimmy, because the pastor said, "Have y'all got a Bible? I'll find that scripture." They were talking with him in the kitchen having coffee. And they told little Jimmy, they said, "Jimmy, go in there and get that big book that we're always reading." Jimmy ran in the living room and come back carrying the Sears catalog. It's the last time you send Jimmy to get anything. Can you say amen? We always put it on. You can't put this on. Ed McMahon was asked. Remember Ed McMahon? Johnny's sidekick? They asked him, "Ed, what do you do to stay in shape? A journalist. Do you work out?" He said, "No, I have a man do that for me." I'll tell you something about working out. There can't nobody do it but you. Show me that gun. Nobody else could do that but you. You had to hit the gym. You had to wake up ready to run. Spiritually, you got to do the same thing. Oh, we need some Christians in this room with big guns. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That man right there, he's liable to get stopped by the law for having two big guns in his front seat. Can you say amen? Spiritually speaking, God wants everybody in here not to just have big guns, but know how to wield the sword of the Spirit. Part of the spiritual armor, praise God. Hallelujah. Taking the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen to me carefully. We need to be ready to run. We need to be fit for battle. Let me close with this. If I can find my glasses, otherwise we'll close right now. Hallelujah. No, I know the scripture. But I'm going to read it anyway, without the glasses, because I know it. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. For me, it's probably chocolate cake. It's beset many diets that I have begun. Amen. In fact, any kind of chocolate. Goo Goo clusters, malted milk balls, Hershey's Kisses. You watch the commercial? There's these two guy and gal. They're exchanging Hershey's Kisses, and he gives her that little piece of chocolate, and she gives him that little piece of chocolate. Pamela would have to peel four of them to give me. I stick four of them in there at one time. If I'm going to do chocolate, I'm going to do it right. Can you say, man? I'm not going to nibble. All right. If I'm training for a race, I'm going to have to push back that chocolate cake. Why? Because I want to win the race. Can it be done without the Holy Spirit? Just for vainglory? The world does it. Every athlete in this world is doing it right now. You miss too many practices at football. I know I played for a little while. You will not play on that field because you are not ready. You're not willing to have the devotion to the game, to have the disciplines that's necessary to play the game, then you're not going to get out there. They put a star player off because he didn't show up to practice. He wouldn't do the rules. You're going to go out and drink all night and then come out here on this field and run down the field and throw up? No, you're not playing Sunday. Listen, they do it for a corruptible crown. We do it for an incorruptible. That's why we want to talk about every one of these crowns that Paul mentions that was motivating him to run with what? Patience. This is a different Greek word for patience. It doesn't mean take a number and sit down. Did you see that commercial with the ex-NFL player getting cold cuts? Yeah. I love it. Going to get me some cold cuts. Woo! Give me some cold cuts today. Excited, enthusiastic. Love to celebrate. Said he'll celebrate anything. Can you say, man? You take a number and you wait. It says run with patience. It's not sit back and see if God will do anything. That word patience in the Greek is different. It's rendered different. It means perseverance. You run with perseverance the race that is set before you. And you know if there's anything encumbering you, you got to deal with it. Lay aside not just the things that the Bible said is sin, but the things that you know is in the way. I've told people you need to deal with that. And you're like, well, where's the Bible say it's a sin? It doesn't say everything is a sin, but there's some stuff that clearly gets in the way between you and God, and only you can get it out of the way. Yeah. Amen. And you'll never get it out of the way unless you're absolutely committed to winning this thing instead of blaming the devil for defeat. Amen? Amen. I found my glasses and you thought we were over. We're almost done. This is so I can finish and we can close. Say, oh God, he found his glasses. Lord, help us. I'm almost done. I honestly am. Run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, at the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you become weary and faint in your own mind. Every time I think about me, instead of what he has done for me. It's not thinking about Jesus feeding the multitudes, working the miracles, healing the sick. It's thinking about Jesus in a specific way. Consider him. As I run this race and I stub my toe and I'm criticized and I get tired and I get weary in my mind, consider him. That did what? Suffered such great contradiction. Where? On the cross for me. Lest you become wearied and faint in your own mind. Because when I think of what somebody did to me, I want to quit. But when I think of what he did for me, I want to run. I don't think you heard me clear. When I think of what somebody did to me, I want to quit. I don't mean quit God. I mean just give up on serving God and seeing souls saved. And that fire begins to burn down. Hallelujah. But when I think about what Jesus has done for me on the cross, the pain, the shame, the time he spent in agony to save me, amen, it gets that attitude of poor old me out of me and brings a praise up where that was. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it makes me want to run anew and run afresh for God. Hallelujah. Everybody in here from time to time is going to get weary in your mind. You need to stir up the gift that is in you to fan into flame. And it's not just that moment in church. It's those things that we have neglected when we go home. Go back to the Bible, open it up, and start feasting on it. Hallelujah. Go have a prayer time that nothing interrupts. Do it in the morning on your way. A guy came to me on the job when I worked at Tampa Electric. He said, Brother Venable, Preacher Bob, they call me. He said, Preacher Bob, Rev, he said, is it okay with God if I pray in the bathroom? I mean, that's not, you know. I said, it's okay with God if you pray anywhere. The important thing to God is that you pray, that you talk with him. He said, we got one bathroom and four kids and my wife and I got to get up, get ready, and get out of here. I've got, in order to get everybody in and get everybody out, I've got an allotted time. He said, I shave in a hurry so that I got time to pray. Because once I leave the house and get to the job, there's no opportunities. And when I get home, I'm wore out. But he said, in the morning, when I get up, he said, so I just get right down on my knees in the bathroom. I talk to God. I said, keep talking. Keep praying. Keep praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take the time. Make the time. Men ought always to pray and never to faint. Glory be to God. There's heavenly resources are yours and mine, but they're only granted through consistent, persistent prayer. And the Word of God brings faith alive. Stir up the gift so that you can run with perseverance the race that is set before you. There's so many discouraged people. The Bible said, lift up the hands that hang down. And strengthen the feeble knee. We need to encourage one another, lest somebody just turn out of the way. They just give up, give in, give over, and turn out of the way. There are gifts in here. There's so many anointed people in this room. Can you imagine if the fire that's in every one of us began to flame up? Hallelujah. 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 If the fire that's in us begin to flame, that's what Satan fears, that the fire will flame up in the lives of those people that God has appointed, God has anointed, because that's called revival. Can you say, man? That's called revival, and it always brings restoration. Hallelujah. It always brings restoration. Will you stand with me today? Thank you for staying late by the world standard and most of the church, because we want a revival. I want my kids saved. When I'm sick, I would like to think that God would heal me. I would like to believe that James 5:14 is not an antiquated scripture, outdated, and not for us today. If there be any sick among you, let them call the elders of the church, let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. That's why that throat cancer didn't eat away and kill you like they predicted that it would. That's why the bleeding polyp left your body and wasn't there for them to take out when they went back to look at it. Can you say, man? That's why. That's why we want revival. We don't want to just talk about these things. We want to see God move to help His people and bring honor to His name in these days that we are living in. That's why your daughter can hear out of an ear that the doctor says she can't hear out of. And yet every test that she took that day in particular, she was able to say what He was saying with an ear that's supposed to be dead. But God, when we asked God to heal her, we didn't tell Him what to do. We just said, let her hear. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many believe we need to wake out of our slumber and fan into flame that great fire within? I'm so excited about what God's doing. Everything's going wrong except the things in the Spirit. Everything in the world around me is in chaos. But in my soul, brother and sister, somebody been praying for me, because in my soul I feel a stirring. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not gonna win everybody to Jesus, but I'm going to preach Jesus to everybody that I can. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Father, we want to see You move. We want to see lives changed. We want to wake up ready to run in the morning. In the name of Jesus, we want to see the gifts of the Spirit beginning to flow in the lives of those that You've appointed and those that You've anointed. We want to see marriages that are impregnable, that cannot be divided and broken and shattered. We want to see the backside of Satan for a change. Hallelujah. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said, we want to see the backside of Satan for a change. Our testimony needs to change. When I would have done this, I would have done that, but the devil came against me. I want a testimony that said, I did that and I did this because he was running from me. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not going to blame the devil for no defeat in my life, Sean. Discouragement is on me. Hallelujah. You didn't hear me. I said discouragement's on me. I'm not even going to blame it on y'all. Somebody said, you better not. Go ahead and say it. Say, you better. I know you're thinking it. Go ahead and say, you better not. Hallelujah. Y'all been good to me. Amen. I'm not going to blame you. And I'm not going to blame myself. Only you can stir up the gift. Can you say, man? Only you can lay aside the weight. You say, Brother Rumble, it's not a sin. I know, but it's a weight. It's in the way. You know it's in the way. You know it's taking your time and your energy and your money. Can you say, man? And what's it going to produce in the end? Right here in the middle of a spiritual battle, we need to get, what is it? He that would be a good soldier doesn't entangleth himself with the cares of this world. Entangleth himself. No great octopus come out and just pulls you into all of that. You walked into it with your eyes open, but thank God you can walk right back out of it if you choose to. You can rearrange your priorities. The Kraken did not awaken and pull your boat down. You know what the Kraken is? He's a mythical, humongous squid-like creature. He comes up from the bottom of the ocean. He grabs an entire ship, and he's so big, and he's so mean, he's so bad. He pulls the ship, your cannons, your captain, the guns, and their sails, and the whole thing. Pulls it right down to the bottom and tears it all to pieces and drowns everybody. Well, there ain't no Kraken. And we have power over the devil. We need power over our flesh so we can defeat the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to see revival before I go home. I want to see revival before I go home. I want to see dissatisfied Christians that say, "Preacher, if you don't challenge me on Sunday, I ain't coming." Instead of saying, "If you challenge me on Sunday, I ain't coming back." Can you say, man, it's got to change if we want to have a revival. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody visited the other day, last week and 2 weeks ago. And as they were coming in, she said, "Brother Bimble, I just came to see how things were on the home front." I said, "Well, you know what to expect, don't you?" She said, "Oh, yeah. Because we haven't changed to accommodate the world. We haven't changed to accommodate the deadness in the church. We haven't changed to accommodate people that are letting the flame go out." Can you say, man, we're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to declare him to be Lord of all. We're going to, we're not going to lower the standard. We're going to keep the standard high. Hallelujah. And teach people how to meet the standard. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And God somehow, some way, Brother Taylor, he's going to get the blessing through to us. Somehow, some way, Sean, it's coming. Praise God. Amen. He's going to help us to do this work for his honor and his glory. Amen. Anyone in this room say, "Preacher, I don't know Christ as my Savior, but I want to know him." Quickly, just lift your hand. Quickly. God is talking to me today. God has talked to me. Anybody in this room say, "I'm a Christian, but I can't say there's any flame in my heart. And I want to begin to stir up the gift that's in me." May I see your hand quickly, quickly, all over this room that feel that in your heart, that need in your heart. Praise God. These are the last of the last days. The signs in the world are clear. We need to define now the signs in the church. That day of the Lord that's hastening shall not come in the church. This is for, except there come a falling away first. The Greek word for that falling away is the word divorce. It's making a commitment and breaking the commitment. Making a covenant and breaking the covenant. Walking away as if it had never occurred. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Not only that, but in the preaching and teaching, when we dumb down the gospel to accommodate the world and worldly people. Take away the reverence for the word. Not preach the whole counsel, just the parts that people enjoy. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days, here it comes again, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Teachings that are not coming from the Holy Spirit or God's word, coming straight out of hell. That you cannot repent, never have a God encounter in your life, and somehow end up in heaven. That message is stronger now than it's ever been in this old world. Heaping to themselves. The time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. But will they want and embrace doctrine? You bet they will. Heaping to themselves teachers. Having itching ears, that simply means tell me what I want to hear and I'll be right there on Sunday and I'll support your ministry. I don't have a message to tell you what you want to hear. I care for your soul. And I care for the souls of others that if we're going to represent Jesus, let's live for him. Let's don't go to the club Saturday night and come to church and want to win a soul on Sunday morning. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Can you say amen? If I go to the club on Saturday night, drink myself drunk, try to find a one-night stand and go out on my wife, I shouldn't be in this pulpit on Sunday morning. Can you say amen? Come on, we need to get the Christians out of the clubs. Can you say amen? We need to get the preachers out of the places that they ought not be as well. We need to restore some reverence and respect in the house of God. If it empties this building, I can deal with that. What I can't deal with is hypocrisy. Can you say, man, God hated it and Jesus denounced it? And we're told to watch out for it because it can get on anybody in this room. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask again, how many want to truly live for God and serve Him? Hallelujah. If you do, you're going to start fanning that flame. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This is the call of God. If you have to go, leave reverently. Some people have jump up and just run right out the door as conviction begins to fall. I've seen it happen. Don't be intimidated. That won't be you. But I've watched it over and over. They couldn't take it. The light was too bright. So they had to head right back out into the darkness of this world. Amen. The light got too bright. The light got too bright. The light got too bright. Can you say amen? Amen. I don't know about you, but I want the light. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen to me. The hour is late and this thing is winding up. I've never felt anointed or appointed any more than I do this very day. And God is speaking to me, and I believe He's speaking through me to somebody somewhere. By the way, the gospel doesn't stop here. It goes up online. It goes out to the world. It goes up on the website. It goes out to the world. And God is calling His people to stir up the gift that is in you. Let's praise Him just before we go home today. Hallelujah. Thank God for this little church.